It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the latest property news every morning for you, 7 days a week on iHeartRadio, Spotify and Apple, and wherever you get your podcast from. We are up to a Sunday. Half of our weekend is gone. It is November the 5th. As our weekend continues, pretty busy weekend with Christmas shoppers out yesterday. And I know a few families that have said no Christmas presents this year because the, you know, the cost of living and everything that we've had to endure this year, just way too expensive. Kind of reminds me of my sister. Every year she says no Christmas presents this year, not buying for anybody. And what does she do? Every single time, out comes the Christmas presents. Yeah, you always get people that like to give. It's not about taking. And my sister is one of those people for sure. Well, coming up, we have 7 days of real estate this week where we're going to reflect back over some of the talking points, the interviews, and there was plenty going on, including finding out about the Gold Coast this week and a suburb on the Gold Coast called Currumbin. And we also checked in on Brisbane. We talked about also how you can move into a real estate CEO position possibly from another industry with James, who places high flyers into executive roles. We also talked this week about Perth with Matthew and how Perth is outperforming other markets. And we spoke about being finance ready if you are a first-time buyer with our mortgage expert, Anthony Landau. So that is all coming up in just a moment. If you like Brian Adams, I see that he is having a birthday today, turning 63. And if you are celebrating blowing out the candles, many happy returns. The actor Tilda Swinton is also turning a year older. She is turning 62.
It's the main centre forecast.
And let's check on your Sunday weather. First, we go to Sydney. Cloudy with showers today. Your high just 21 degrees. Looking much better in Melbourne. A fine day for you with 23. Brisbane, a high chance of some showers. Temperature down to 27. And in Perth, the big blue is out. Sunny skies and your high 28.
Explore new property destinations where you could live with exclusive interviews covering real estate news and market insights.
You have seen the Baywatch lifestyle and want to look like a David Hasselhoff or a Pamela Anderson running across the Golden Beach looking like a taunt athlete. Now, hang on, John, we're getting a little bit carried away now, aren't we?
There's no taunt athletes on this podcast, I don't think, Craig.
Exactly right. Very hard to look like a Hoff back in the day. And what about that draw card factor that many people are seeing over Brisbane and making the move? How big is that in your part of the GC?
Yeah, mate, it's been huge. Over our past 2 to 3 years, we've seen a lot of migration from Brisbane, a lot of buyers from that space that we hadn't experienced previously. Our market's still heavily driven by local buyers, but the Brisbane buyers are definitely playing a pivotal role in both units and houses on the southern end of the Gold Coast.
Now, we talk a lot about the immigration at the moment, which is going gangbusters. Are you benefiting from that?
Oh, we definitely are. It's increased our inquiry numbers, our open home numbers, and particularly our registration numbers at our auctions as well. Clearance rates have never been so high, and that migration piece is kind of added to, I guess, the strength of the market that we had pre-COVID. And it's really snowballed on. So it's made a big difference to the market for sure.
Yeah, you talk to some of the buyer's agents and they've been having a fantastic time of it this year, 2023. And one of the key ingredients into that whole mix, the buyers that they're representing offshore.
Oh, absolutely. Like there's just, I've been working on the southern end of the Gold Coast at our Ray White Tugan office for 16 years this year, and I've never seen so much competition in buyers. So if the buyers are not getting good service from the real estate agents themselves, then buyer agents are starting to play a part, and that's across the country. You know, we're getting inquiries on a property we've got in Currumbin at the moment, and we're getting inquiries all over the world, all over the country. And yeah, it's crazy. And it doesn't show any signs of slowing down.
You locally in your area, there's a little bit more going on. There's some cranes, something that you're not necessarily used to.
Yeah, we're not. You know, there's been a lot of development sites sold on the southern Gold Coast from Palm Beach south into Currumbin, into Tugan. Your Currumbin areas and your Tugan areas are a little bit more restricted around the development, but there has been a lot of sites sold. There's been a lot of DAs approved. And yeah, like I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of cranes in the sky, and it looks like we're going to have a huge supply of units over the next kind of 12, 18 months to 2 years, which is great. It's going to bring more people to the coast, and it's going to continue to create more competition for the sellers.
And the median house price in Currumbin, I think that is sitting around $1.4 million, reflecting a 3.87% increase over the last 12 months. So that's pretty healthy, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, absolutely. Thinking back, I remember when it was around the 600 to 700 grand mark, and that was still quite high at that period of time. So now to think you've nearly got to spend $1.5 million to get in, it's a cracking spot, that's for sure.
Don't let dinner prep time go to waste. Plug in your earbuds to listen to a world of powerful real estate news and information.
So let's have a look, Varsha, at the Brisbane market. What factors do you think are contributing to Brisbane's expected strong housing market performance in 2024 and beyond, especially considering the seven-month increase in median property prices and the upcoming Olympics? All of those things, they're all very positive.
They are, yeah. And the Brisbane property market has clearly moved into the recovery phase of the property cycle, with a 7 month-on-month increase in the median house price. And there are so many signs that Brisbane will be one of the strongest housing market in 2024. Of course, Olympics is one of the biggest factors that will ensure that Brisbane is put on the global map, and it has a unique lifestyle and economic benefits that will attract overseas migrants, as well as plentiful jobs for highly paid knowledgeable workers. And according to CoreLogic, there has been about 6.2% house price increase since moving through February 2024. Brisbane is benefiting from significant interstate migration. This year, approximately 30,000 people have moved from interstate to Queensland. And according to Westpac, that has forecast that by 2025, Brisbane would have gone through 5 years of spectacular real estate growth of about 43%.
Well, a lot depends on where they want to look in the organization's context. So sometimes we will lead a global search, and we'll look all over the world for specific talent that meets their needs, whether that's growth or innovation, for example.
Yeah, that's kind of the point, isn't it? Because if there is somebody that's already in a leadership role that perhaps is not in the real estate game, can they go from one industry into another so long as they can skill themselves up into the job?
Yeah, it is possible. And there are some examples of very senior people in the region where that's the case. I do think that in a CEO role, for example, breadth of experience across real estate is helpful. Many of the top leaders start as civil engineers or architects, for example. There are people who come in from investment banking or more kind of finance backgrounds that do incredibly well. So it can be fairly broad.
And when we sort of come back to the CEOs, the leadership, they've got to kind of be skilled up to a little bit of a higher level in some ways when it does come to AI, because you've got to be across this, because this is changing at a rapid pace.
And, you know, I had a really fascinating conversation with a CEO a few months back, and I was asking about AI and a number of other innovations, and this organization was really investing heavily in that space. At one point, not AI, but we were talking about the metaverse, and they are building all sorts of developments within the metaverse. And I said, you know, what is the return on investment for this? He said, well, look, there are some elements of sales and brand building associated with it. But the opportunity cost is substantial, because if the metaverse really does take on, we'll be ahead of the game because we're investing early. If it doesn't, then frankly, the cost of us investing it is insignificant by comparisons.
If you're confused about the property market, don't be. Unlock and educate yourself with the latest trending analysis and interviews.
Here's a question for you. Is there a better investment to be made than Perth right now? Well, Matthew Hughes, the founder and managing director of Capital Property Advisory, would advise you and say, of course there is not a better place. And he is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Matthew.
Good morning, Craig. Acknowledging my bias, obviously. Yeah, I think Perth's probably the premier spot for investors at the moment.
Let's talk about what is happening with the new Planning and Development Amendment Bill for 2023, which is aiming to accelerate housing projects and other infrastructures. How do you see this affecting property developers and investors, especially in the immediate future?
Yeah, I think the reforms are definitely a welcome change and much needed in the current market, especially in the new permanent significant development pathway. I think developers have been frustrated for some time now with the elongated approval process. So having determinations now within 120 days should make project timelines much more predictable. And in theory, I guess this should encourage more developers to invest into new projects, knowing that they can get to the construction phase faster. And this, coupled with improving build timeframes, could result in a bit of a surge and new housing development starts over the next 6 to 12 months, which, as you know, would be a welcome addition to the market given the current housing shortfall.
And we often talk about the current strong population growth, of course, in WA, and a noted shortfall of properties. I mean, it's a problem around the country, but you're certainly experiencing that at the moment. So how long do you think it is going to take for these reforms to alleviate pressure on the established market?
The problem we're facing is pretty substantial. We've got a projected shortfall of about 25,000 homes from 2023 through to 2027. So the effects of these reforms, I think, will be good, but will be felt incrementally over time. But they certainly aren't a silver bullet to solve all of our housing supply issues. Whilst construction can start sooner thanks to the reduced red tape, the actual time to build and to have homes ready for occupancy will still be subject to a lot of different factors, like the issues we've been facing previously, which is supply of materials, availability of labour and other logistical aspects. So I'd anticipate a more noticeable alleviation of the established market within 18 to 24 months, which is a long way away, unfortunately, as more properties begin to trickle into the market. And that's assuming we see an uptick in development starts in the near future, which we haven't been seeing recently. We're still tracking well below where we need to be.
And Matthew, I want to talk about one of the reforms which speaks to the removal of duplicate processes for the subdivision of land. How critical, in your opinion, is this for developers, and what changes might we see in terms of land development strategies?
Anything that improves efficiency is good. So for developers, this means that you might have a more straightforward path towards subdividing and developing land without having to jump through a bunch of redundant hoops. And I think we might see developers being a little bit more ambitious with their development strategies and maybe exploring areas or concepts that they may have previously deemed too cumbersome due to that bureaucratic process that we're currently dealing with.
We unpack all the important stuff so you're better informed. Know your property with us on the Real Estate Podcast.
And the rising rate environment, of course, the great Australian dream these days of owning your own home is still a major hurdle to get over. And you deal with buyers every day, and these buyers, they are getting their money together, which is harder in the current market. We have covered this before, but I think it's just so, so important to step over again. And that is, what does it mean to be finance ready in 2023?
Yeah, really good question. And I'm just looking at some recent data that came out yesterday, actually, and the housing market has risen another 0.9% in October. So we're now only 0.5% above the historic highs back in April last year. So the resilience of Australia's housing market is incredible. We deal with a lot of buyers, and a big question that they ask us is, or a big issue we deal with them is, getting ready to actually purchase a home and them understanding what they can actually afford, them understanding how much deposit they actually need, and them understanding the whole environment they're coming into, whether it's a first home buyer or someone upgrading or downsizing. 2023 is a new environment. High interest rates, rising housing market, cost of living pressures, the ability to borrow has gone down. So being finance ready is understanding the parameters, what you can do, when you can do it, and how to go about it.
Yeah, definitely 2023 is an unusual year, and I just wonder what 2024 sort of holds for us in this whole space of being finance ready. So what guidance and advice and a checklist do you pass on to these buyers, especially first home buyers preparing to buy a property?
There's two elements to it. There's the actual buyer's journey, what you go through, and then there's getting your finance. So in terms of actually getting finance, we look at it from the perspective of, well, what's the bank looking for? What's a credit analyst looking for? So the sort of things they're going to take into account are an individual's credit history. Have they had issues with repayments in the past, with defaults in the past, credit card issues? Have they got a guaranteed and stable income, whether it's a PAYG job or a self-employed job? There's different parameters around all of that. What sort of deposit do they have? Have they got savings that is going to leverage them into the property? What does it cost them to live on? What are their living expenses, liabilities, credit cards? So it's them understanding the parameters around what does the bank look at in assessing your situation when they say, number one, are you credit worthy? Number two, how much are we willing to lend you?
Yeah, there are many hurdles in that whole range of what you have just spoken about. And of course, mountains to climb when trying to get onto the property ladder, especially when that ladder reaches into the clouds. But it's all about the navigation of the journey, the steps that buyers make on that daunting climb to the top of the mountain. So with all of those analogies wrapped up, what are the three biggest challenges do you think home buyers face?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And probably over time, those challenges may evolve, but fundamentally, they're similar. Funnily enough, one of the biggest challenges they face is just the sheer fact they haven't purchased a house before. They're dealing with real estate agents suddenly. They're dealing with potentially looking at whether they use a buyer's agent. They're dealing with mortgage brokers, conveyancers. They're looking at, do we buy, what's the difference between buying at an auction towards buying at a private treaty? So it's a totally new environment that a new home buyer particularly is coming into. So that's a big challenge for someone, is understanding the journey. We educate, we make introductions to the appropriate people. The second main one is obviously the deposit. How much do they need? And often that's putting them on a trajectory towards, this is the sort of deposit you need to be able to get into the home you're looking for. And again, they haven't applied for credit and they may not understand what they can get accessed. There's a lot of government programs now helping first home buyers, whether it's federal government first home loan deposit scheme, state government stamp duty concessions, state government grants, or even family guarantee loans, or lenders lending up to 85%. So it's, they haven't applied for credit and understanding what's available to them.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.